Lord, fresh grace, so that, Lord, I will minister your word as an oracle of God in the name of Jesus. Let your word come out of me like a stream of living water, bringing life, bringing strength, bringing wisdom, causing our wills to be more submitted to your will, our minds to be further illuminated with the revelation knowledge of the Holy Spirit, and our emotions further controlled and tempered by the power of the fruit of the Spirit in the name of Jesus. Lord, as your word goes forth, let it be backed with your power, breaking yokes, oh God. Lord, healing minds, healing bodies, causing an eternal work to be done in our hearts and in our midst, bringing glory to the name of Jesus and blessings to us, the sons of men, in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Father, because as we go into your word, Lord, I ask, Lord, that you help me to be precise, help me to be concise, so I will not speak from myself, but I will speak from you out of communion and fellowship with you in the name of Jesus. And so, Lord, that, Lord, as I do so, I will redeem the time, saying only those things that you have me say, bringing forth your word as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom, bringing forth both things new and the old as led by the Spirit. Let your kingdom come, and let all of your will be done. In Jesus' name, amen. Once again today, we are in the book of Colossians. And last time we were here, we looked at verses 8 to 11. Colossians 1, verses 8 to 11. And we saw then in our last lesson the importance of an attitude of reverence to apostolic fathers and the obedience to their instruction. It is important to have the right attitude to authority, spiritual authority, particularly fathers, you know, but all authority, and then also obeying their instruction. And we saw in that lesson that this twin properties of reverence and obedience, prompt obedience, position us under covering. Amen. And covering is spiritual virtue, spiritual life that is flowing from God, coming through their spirits to you. And we said that, covering, you know, the power of God flows through us through joints and bands. You know, so God has, there's a spiritual connection in the anatomy of the natural body. You know, each part of the body is connected. So you have veins, and you have arteries, and you have bones, and everything is linked together. And the same blood that is flowing in the head is flowing in the feet. Okay, and that blood is carried by connections. Arteries and veins. Amen. So it's the same picture, that connection that is flowing in every part of the spiritual body, which is Christ. Amen. And we saw that it is important to receive this in sufficient measure. The measure is important. You know, because when you now have it in sufficient measure, then certain things begin to happen. And let's look at Colossians chapter 1, verse 8. Okay, thank you. Who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. Okay, now we said before, this is verse 8. We said then, looking at from verse 7, that the first thing is that, if we go to verse 7, that covering helps you to discern true spiritual oversight. Because there is a false, there is a counterfeit, there is, the Bible talks about you have many instructors, you have few fathers. So we have to be able to discern fathers correctly, and it is that life that is flowing from the fathers that illuminates our understanding, because there is light in the life of God. Amen. And that life helps us to see them the way God sees them. Amen. It's very important to understand. The Bible says that you should remember those that have the rule over us. Okay. And no, we should follow them. Look at Hebrews 13 verse 7. Thank you. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end. So we're not supposed to follow blindly, we're supposed to look at the end of where they're going. Amen. And it is that end that now lets us know that we are following correctly. So we're not supposed to follow blindly, we're supposed to use the word of God as a guide. And then that helps us to know who to follow and who not to follow. And once you now see oversight the way God sees them. You have to remember them. Papa Ralph shared that with us. Remember them in your mind. The Bible says, I know no man after the flesh. So you see them in the spirit, who they really are. And when you see that, then you can identify the force, because there is a force. And the message of the force is basically that gain is godliness. Anything that adds to you, anything that increases you physically, materially, intellectually, anything, that is God. It cannot be wrong. And that's not true. The Bible says, godliness with contentment is great gain. So, you know, so it's important to you now see that that connection with oversight helps us to see things correctly and positions us in the body of Christ so that we can stand in the place that God has ordained us to stand and we can be fed. Amen. Then we then went on to see in verse 8 that, you know, let's go to verse 8. Who also declared unto us your love in the spirit, that godly oversight can see when you're walking in love. Amen. And when they see that you're walking in the love of God, and that love is not just your own imagination, it is love in the spirit. So they teach us to practice God's love, and we begin to walk in love. And when we walk in love, we begin to acquire more wisdom and more revelation. The Bible says that in the book in John chapter 15, Bible says that that when we bring forth fruit, the Father prunes it, so it brings forth even more fruit. You know, so when you begin to walk in love, love is the fruit, is the main fruit of the Spirit. All the other fruits are in the love of God. So love, when you start walking in love, God wants you to walk in more love. The Bible says that I have ordained you that you might bring forth much fruit. So God doesn't start with a little quantity of love. He wants more and more and more and more love until we get to the fullness of Christ. Amen. Okay. And we saw that, you know, so God begins to give you epignosis, which is the precise, exact knowledge or the wisdom of God in principle of various areas of healing, of deliverance, of prosperity. So it's a balanced word. Amen. Is not skewed to one side. It lets you know what your responsibilities are, and it draws a fine line low so that you can know what the limits are in the Word of God. That's epignosis. It's precise, it's exact. You know, and when you get it, you can only get it from the fathers. It's the fathers that give epignosis. And when you then begin to walk in epignosis, then you find out that you begin to grow in the love of God. Let's look at it. Okay, so declare unto us your love in the Spirit. Okay, next verse. Verse 9, okay, then from this day we cease not to pray, nor cease to pray that you be that but be filled with the knowledge of his will, okay, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. That knowledge there is the epignosis, is the knowledge in principle. Next verse. That might work worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. How can you increase, like Pastor Al so beautifully when it was, how can you increase in something you already have? One is principle, the other is details. Amen. So you grow in the details of the knowledge of God by practice. And that's why practice is so important. So we grow, and then we now have refined wisdom, refined instruction. And a very good example of that is the prophet Elisha. You know, when we didn't say this last time, but I'm just came to my heart to share this. You know, that prophet Elisha, the last time when he was surrounded in 2 Kings chapter 6, he was surrounded by the army of the Syrians. And the servant woke up and said, "Alas, my master, we are surrounded." And he said, "Relax." Lord opened his eyes. And he saw that there was a host round about. That's divine. That's refined wisdom. They can see the solution that you cannot see. Amen. And he saw the solution and he saw the wisdom of God. And he said, and then he discerned the man of God and said, "Lord, smite them with blindness." And then he brought them into the midst of the city. And then Lord opened their eyes. So when they opened their eyes, they were in the midst of it. They were surrounded by the armies. And the king, again, he didn't discern. He didn't discern. He said, "My Lord, should I smite them?" You know not what spirit of which you have. You need to know this. So I said, "No, the one that you did by yourself, you will smite. The one that God did for you, you will leave." Amen. I'm paraphrasing. So and he came and said, "Feed them divine compassion. Feed them." And when he fed them, send them away. The Bible says they didn't come back again. Divine power. That's the love of God in operation. Amen. Love is the greatest force there is. The things we're looking for, love will achieve far more progress. Like Mom Islam says, love never fails. It's the most powerful force there is. And if we key into the love of God, then we never fail. Amen. Love just lifts us up. You never fail. There will always be a way of escape. Because you can't box God in. There is no wisdom or understanding or counsel against the Lord. But the key is to do it in the Spirit. Like Jesus, if you don't have any instruction, wait. And hear what the Master is saying. Then when you hear, then you move. Amen. Amen. So that's the will of God for us. And you know that divine power also follows divine wisdom. Okay. And we said that love releases the fruit of joy into our lives. Amen. And joy is so important. Bible talks about joy unspeakable. The joy of the Lord is our strength. So it gives you that strength, that energy to keep going on and on. And that joy is important. So you are not moved by circumstances. Even if the fig tree does not blossom, or the vine does not bring forth its leaves, you know, but yet will I rejoice in the Lord. I will joy where? In the God of my salvation. Our joy must not come from things around us. Our joy must not come from things that God has given you. If Abraham's joy came from Isaac, how would he have given him back? It's so important. Our joy must be in the Lord. Now, of course, those things, those that we thank God for, this Bible says the Father knows that you have need of these things. But if you love him and you serve him, the things you didn't ask for, he will give you. But make sure your heart is not in them. Like Mommy Sarah said, when she got married, I can't forget, you know, when Father talked, said she put sold on everything. Sold in a house. Sold for God. Sold for God. So that's why she can give. And how many can attest that they love us? And they have demonstrated love. Because every time they can give. Because why? Because in their heart, it's theirs, but again, it's not theirs. It's God's under their own authority. And that's the way all of us should be. Amen. We should learn from that. The Bible says, if you follow, whose faith follow? Considering the end of their conversation. Amen. And finally, we saw that love helps us to be loyal to oversight. When they appear to be unfair, very important. We saw the story of Anna. Eli thought that she was drunk. But she wasn't drunk. But she answered with a good attitude. And that's the key. Your attitude must always be correct. Right attitude. David was chased by Saul, but he kept a right attitude. He said, "Thy servant is a dead dog. Why are you chasing your servant?" He called himself a dead dog. He didn't say, you know how we can talk. You know, what have I done for you? No, right attitude. Right attitude. Because you don't see everything. They are in authority over you. And they have done you good. They have given you life. Literally, your lives have depended on their faithfulness to God and their intercession. If they have shown us love, they have a right to bring correction. It's balance. It's two go together. It's responsible. If they have shown you love and you can receive of the love, why can't we receive of the correction? Brethren, so now don't let stay away. Be loyal to others. When you are corrected, that is when you now go and greet them again. Good morning, ma. Good morning, sir. I love you, sir. I love you, ma. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Faith calleth the things that are not as though they are, and it will become. But you have to train yourself. Remember, you have to train yourself. No, and when you train yourself, finally you become a person of faith. But it shall be unto you excellent oil. When they correct you, it is excellent oil. It will not break. It will only increase your anointing. So, brethren, we must not stay away from oversight. Amen. Love them. Come to them. Don't hide things from them. Amen. Some of us, in Jesus' name, we have life. Everybody else knows what is happening to you except those in authority over you. And let us repent in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We now look at verses 12 to 14. Amen. Let's look at verse 12. Thank you. Let's read it together. 1, 2, 3, go. Giving thanks unto the Father, which had made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Next verse. Who had delivered us from the power of darkness and had translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. Next verse. In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Amen. And let's see how far God takes us. Amen. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for your love and help. Amen. Now, Satan is the god of this world, and he rules his kingdom in darkness because he is alienated from God. So he rules his kingdom in darkness, and God, the creator of all, including Satan, is the god of all. And he rules his kingdom in light. So there are two kingdoms. How many kingdoms? It's a Bible study. There are two kingdoms. And one is opposed to the other. God's kingdom is the kingdom of light. And Satan's kingdom is a kingdom opposed against the kingdom. Now, the will of God, where we started from, was the fact that because of Adam's sin, when we got to the age of accountability, and we knew the difference between right and wrong, because of the nature of sin in our souls, in our flesh, in our spirits, in our soul, in our flesh, we chose wrong and we died spiritually. So we were separated from God. Romans chapter 5. Okay? Romans chapter 5, verse 12. Let's look at that. Thank you, sir. Let's read it together. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon how many men? Just the black ones, not the whites. Just the ones that are poor, not the rich. He passed on to all men. For how many have sinned? All have sinned. So we sin because of the nature. It's not primarily the action. It's primarily the nature. Once you are a partaker of the nature, you've sinned. That's why Jesus had to be born perfect. He had to be born of the Holy Spirit by virgin conception through the Holy Spirit. Amen? So that he did not have that sin nature. Okay? Now, that nature revives when we get to the age of account and then we die. So we are separated from God. And it is in that state that all mankind is dominated by the kingdom of darkness. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 2 verse 12 quickly. Ephesians 2:12. That at that time, this is that time, amen. That at that time, you are without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. Lord have mercy. Thank you, sir. Lord have mercy. That is the state of all mankind. But thank God for mercy. Because God didn't leave us there. Amen. God took the initiative to prepare salvation for all mankind through faith in Christ. Look at Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. Let's start from verse 70. Luke chapter 1. Thank you. And he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began. It applies to all men. Next verse. That we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us. It tells you that there are two sets. The enemies are spiritual, not physical. Because it says they are our enemies and this conjunction. That's from the hand, physical hand, of them that hate you. So our real enemies are not physical. They are spiritual. One not against flesh and blood. Next verse. To perform the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant. Next verse. The oath which he swore to our father Abraham. Next verse. That he would grant unto us. Let's read it together. That he would grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hands of our enemies, might serve him without fear. Next verse. In holiness and righteousness, where? Before him, all the days of our life. Let's give God a super hand. Amen. God saw ahead of time and set out a plan. And this is the plan that Zechariah picked by the Spirit and was prophesying. And the Bible says, no, to perform. So God went into action and started performing. Mercy is not stagnant. It's God in operation. Working even when you don't even know you have a problem. So when you say, Lord, have mercy, you are actually just acknowledging the fact that God is moving in you, moving for you, moving through you, working on your behalf. Amen. That's why we have to be thankful to God. We can't ever be thankful enough. Mercy is what is keeping us. It is of his mercies we are not consumed. Amen. That mercy. But I want to say that mercy promised to our fathers. You may say, well, we are not Jews. Yes, we are. We are spiritual Jews. Look at Galatians chapter 3, verse 14. Amen. That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Amen. So you are a Jew through Christ by faith. Once we believe in Christ, then we tap into the mercy plan that God had activated from before the foundations of the world. Amen. And then played out through Jesus Christ. Amen. So we see that God, by his mercy, he delivered us from the power of darkness. All right. How did he do that? Look at 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter verse 1. Start from verse 1. Oh, okay. Yes. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, giving us his credentials, to the, where were we before? In Ephesians 2:12, we were strangers. Okay, to the strangers scattered throughout Nigeria. All right, I mean, he's talking about Pontus and the, but he's talking to you today. Okay, next verse. Elect, you have won an election. It's not the greatest election in the world. You have won it. You are elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Give God a super hand. What an election. God has elected. He foreknew us and then he elected us. Amen. Now, this is it. Now, God does not predestinate individuals in that he doesn't choose one and then leave another. But he predestinates events and sets conditions. Amen. So that the person that fulfills the conditions becomes predestinated. So God is not partial. He's not partial. It's for all men. For God so loved the that he gave his only begotten, that whosoever believeth them should not, whosoever believeth them should not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. It's for all. Elect. Amen. So it's whosoever. Thank you, sir. Whosoever. God has elected us according to the formula. Why? He says, unto obedience. Obedience is natural to you. Obedience is natural to you. I know the experience that we have, but it's a lie. It's a lie. And we need to see ourselves the way God sees us and reckon our members as dead unto sin. Amen. We have been sanctified by the Spirit unto obedience and the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. So in case you don't obey, there's a provision. Next verse. Verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant, see the mercy again, before you even knew anything, mercy was going ahead, performing on our behalf, amen, had begotten us again, as well as you are born again, begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. It's going to be Easter in a week. Amen. And we'll see more of that. All right, next verse. To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Now, there are two heavens. There is that heaven in heaven, and there's a heaven right here. Heaven. There's a heaven here. Where is the inheritance? It is reserved here. Here, incorruptible. God has seen it already. He's seen the end from the beginning, that in your life, there's an inheritance here. Incorruptible, unfading, undefiled. You are seated with him in heavenly place. And he's seen the finished work, brethren. God did not get us born again. He took us out to bring us in. He didn't take you out. So being born again is not the end. It's the beginning. We are going to get an inheritance. That's where we're going. Amen. And we're going to get there in Jesus' name. Verse 5. Who are kept by the what? Power of God. Through faith unto... it's deep. We are kept by the power of God. Once you believe, you know what you do? You activate the power. And the power works on your behalf. And there's only one language system that understands. There is power in his kingdom, but his power cannot compare. Power pass power. The power of God dominates. This is the kingdom. Bible says that deliver us from evil, for thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. When? Forever. Where is the devil? It can't come. The kingdom of God does not consist in word, but in power. It's in power. Power. So he's talking about the fact that there is a power that is keeping you if you are acting in faith. And that's the key, brethren. We need to be acting in faith. And you know what that power will do? It will take you from one level of faith to another level of faith until you get to the salvation ready to be revealed in this last time. So the power will do what the Bible says. We are changed from one level of glory to another level of, as by the Spirit of the Lord. Amen. So God, this is the package, brethren. It's a finished work. Like they say in America, it's a done deal. God did this. No half measures. God doesn't do half measures. Went all the way. So let's look at it in a bit more detail. Okay, he says that we're saved. And no, we experience. So this deliverance that God has done, this is a done deal. How do we tap into it? We tap into it by faith. Amen. We tap into it by believing in Jesus as our Lord and Savior. Look at Romans chapter 10, verse 10. For with the heart, man does what? Believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Now, this talks about salvation being born again. It also talks about progressively salvation being saved from one level of growth. So, confession is a way of life. Believing and confession are spiritual techniques. They are technologies that God has that deposited in the church. That if you don't open your mouth, there's nothing God can do. If you don't believe in your heart, there's nothing God can do. You must do both. Believe in your heart and confess with your mouth. The believing gives you access to the life. The confession releases the life. This is technology. So you can't say, oh, I'm tired of talking. When I talk. You don't know what has it brought. Better talk. Better talk. So you can see the salvation that has been prepared for you in this time. Amen. That's what God is saying. And look at, so we are saved by believing Jesus as our Savior. Amen. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 9. So that the blood of Jesus saves us. That's how we save us, saving us from our sins. Hebrews 9:13 to 15, quickly. For if the blood of bulls, let's read it together. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of a heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh. Next verse. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who
through the eternal spirit offered himself without spot to God. Do what? Where? Is it your car? Is it the expressway? Is it the clothes you are wearing? Is it the seat in your office? The blood of Jesus Christ is supposed to purge our conscience from dead works to do what? Serve living God. Brethren, you can't serve God your own way. To serve God properly, your conscience must be clean so you can receive the life of God. It is that kind of heart that the service is acceptable. Bible says, Deuteronomy verses 10, verse 12. He says, what has the Lord thy God required of thee? No, but that thou shalt fear the Lord thy God, that thou mayest walk in his ways, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, that thou mayest serve him. If you want to serve him, you must start with your heart. It starts with the heart. Look at verse 15. Next verse. And for this cause, he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. He's telling that this is consistent. We saw it in Hebrews. We saw it in Peter. It's the same thing. God is saying something. He's saying that you're not supposed to be just born again, Shah. You are supposed to get an inheritance. That is supposed to make a distinction between you and another person that does not have the inheritance. So it's a race against time to get your inheritance. That's what he said. And he's talking here about Jesus Christ. When Jesus Christ came, when the shed blood of Jesus brings remission. The blood of bulls and goats merely covered their sins. Okay, until the next year, as for the whole of Israel. Okay, men just covered their sin. The high priest will take it in and will sprinkle the blood on the mercy seat. But the blood of Jesus Christ actually goes beyond that, because it is the blood of a righteous man that was born without sin. So it not just brought atonement, it brought remission. So that the sin is totally cleansed. And that's why the Bible says that he has removed our sins as the east is from the west. There's no remembering again. Stop remembering your sins. Amen. Forgive yourself. God has forgiven you. Forgive yourself. Don't let his grave close. Don't let Satan hold you back. Don't let him hold you back. God has let it go. You too, let it go. Learn what you need to learn from it though. Once you learn from it, then move on. You can't beat your head about it. You can't repair the past. Let it go, forget it, and move forward. Amen. And chart a new course. Amen. All right. So he's talking about the fact that there is remission and the redemption of sins. God is so wise. Everything in the Old Testament, God backdated and used the blood. And I'll give God a super clap of. Our God is the God of wisdom. It's not just words. When they stand in awe of him, you need to stand in awe of him. God is wise. Amen. Okay. And then we also accept, when you believe in Jesus, we accept him as Savior. This is Savior part. And then as Lord. Amen. Because we now need to submit to his word and will. Now this is the part that we need to begin to accept and grow in. Amen. It's very easy to accept Jesus as Savior because he comes and gives me blessing, gives me grace, gives me life, gives me his name, gives me his word, gives me everything that I need. But at the same time, you need to submit to his word, which is the word he's given, and then his will, which is his word at a particular time that applies to us in our hearts. Amen. That is revealed to us. And that is very important. Amen. Okay. And particularly, it's important to submit to the revelation of the destiny that he has prepared for us, Christ in us, the hope of glory. We said this before, but let's just look at it. Colossians chapter 1, verses 27 to 28. This truth is so key. Look at Colossians 1. All right. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, in you and I. Which is, thank you, sir, Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's a secret. Next verse. Whom we preach, warning every man. And teaching every man how in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. This is the mystery of the gospel. This is the kernel of Christianity. This is the pearl of great price. Thank you, sir. There is blessing in Christ. There is prosperity. There is deliverance. There is healing. But those are all goodly pearls. This one is the pearl of great price. Every man can be perfect. Don't let the devil tell you. Thank you, mommy. Don't let the devil tell you that you can't be. Pastor Kunle, you don't know where I'm coming from. God knows where you're coming from. And God said, every man. Every man. Change what you see, brethren. I think that's part of what God is telling us today. Change how you see yourself. Amen. Start seeing yourself the way God said you are. Don't see yourself the way your experience says you are. Don't see yourself the way your friends say you are. Don't see your friends the way your parents said you are. See yourself the way God said you are. Amen. Very important. Because the kings in the kingdom begin by seeing. We partake of the inheritance of the saints in light. You need light to see. What did Elijah tell Elisha? He said, if you see me, you have to see something before you experience it. So stop seeing the wrong thing. Start seeing what God said. Amen. All right. So we are thankful to God, God the Father, for making the plan. Pastor told us this 28 years ago. By foundation of Philadelphia. God is the architect. The three persons of God, they have work, division of labor. They have, but that's an area of expertise when it comes to mankind. Okay, God is the architect. He draws up the plan. All right? He's the wise master builder, draws the plan. Jesus is the one that supplies the materials. He's the builder. So he gives the name. He gives the word. He gives the life. You know. He gives everything that you need. The blood. He gives all that. And then the Holy Spirit now takes the materials and builds the habitation of God by the Spirit. He is the executor. He's the one that implements the plan. So he takes the materials and uses the material to implement the plan that was given from before the foundations of the world. All of them working together. Amen. That's why he's the one with us. He's our comforter. He's the one with us now working things out. So like we said before, we have been delivered from the kingdom of darkness. And we have come to the kingdom of God's dear son. Now we need to live in the light. As Jesus is in the light. Amen. By closely following apostolic and prophetic truth that is preached by our fathers, so we can enter into our inheritance. Look at John 8 verse 12. Thank you, Jesus. John 8 verse 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in, but shall have the light of life. So there is light in life when you follow Jesus. Amen. That's the will of God. Now look at, you may say, but Jesus is not here. But God has given us people that we can follow. Look at 1 Corinthians 11 verse 1. Amen. 1 Corinthians 11 1. Thank you. Right, let's read together. I say, be ye followers of me, even as I also am of. This is God's design. You can't see Christ to follow, but you can see fathers to follow. So you follow the fathers as they are following Christ. So don't tell me that you can do it by yourself. You know, it's not just praying by yourself in your house or reading your Bible. There is an inheritance at stake. You can never get that inheritance if somebody does not show you what to do. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And if you don't follow him, you're not getting it. Now, let me tell you this. If you don't follow the fathers who are following the Christ, you will not get the inheritance. It's God's design. God doesn't want rebels. He doesn't want lone rangers. The lone ranger is not riding again. And says the Lone Ranger rides again. He is not riding again. In the kingdom, there are no Lone Rangers. It's team ministry. Amen. Amen. Very important. Okay. All right. So we see that. And the revelation of the life of God is fundamental to divine love. No, it's amazing. No, it's so crucial to divine love, because you cannot practice divine love without life. Now, we saw this before in previous lessons, so we're not going to dwell on it much. But what is life? John 5:26 tells us what the life of God is. Life of God is what the Father has in himself. Amen. We saw that. Okay? From John 5. Now, what I want to show is 1 John chapter 3, verse 22 to 23. Okay? Life is a substance. We said it before, it bears repetition. It is a substance. It's living water, everlasting life. It's a liquid, spiritual liquid, that flows in God, that makes God God. All his attributes are a derivative of that life. Wisdom, patience, mercy, kindness, power, all comes from the life. And when God wants to bless you, what he primarily would give you first is life. Don't look for external blessing first. Look for life first. Because that one is the blessing. Bible says, in blessing, I will bless you. In multiplying, I'll multiply your seed. He's not talking about physical, he's talking about life. That's the birthright. And we don't sell it for a piece of pottage. Don't give it up. Don't give the blessing up for a blessing. There is a blessing and there is the blessing. Jacob got the blessing. Esau got a blessing. And the pottage lasted only for a short while. But that same birthright, Jacob took it to Laban. He came back a rich man. Amen. And he's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He's God of Christ and he's your God. Amen. Our number two is there. Amen. He's our God. Okay. So let's look at 1 John 3. All right. Let's read it because this is so important. Let's read it together. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments. We understand that to be the commandment of love. And do those things that are pleasing in his sight. We must be pleasing. That's our desire. It has to be. That's a desire. Thank you, mommy. That's a key desire that we must cultivate and acquire. We must seek to please the Lord. Please him. And that's the motive that we have that takes us into our inheritance. All right? Thank you, man. It separates us apart from those who want something from God and those who want to please him. Because when you are pleasing, you are giving to him. You are fulfilling the travail of his soul. You are fulfilling the desire of his heart. You want him to look down and say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Pleasing. So, brethren, let us seek to be well pleasing. Look at the next verse. How can you be well pleasing? And this is his commandment, that we should what? Believe on the name of his son and love one another as he gave us commandment. How do you believe on the name of his son? John 20:31. John 20:31. All right. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might what? Have what? Through his name. In Jesus' name, I have life. That's where you get that. And so when you go back to 1 John 3:23. You now get that life. 1 John 3:23. Go back there now quickly. Thank you. All right. Okay. You can now use that life to walk in love. You can use that life to please him. No, it is so instructive that when David told God that I want to build a temple, he had a string of military successes. He had children. He had Bible says God gave him a great name. And the great names of men on the earth. Yet, God said, you want to build me? That pleasing is the key. You know, and is that for God, it really touches them. You won't build me a house, I will build you a house. So, God was saying then, and we have a tabernacle of David, that he's going to build people that will be a spiritual habitation where his presence will dwell. Amen? And that's what God wants to do, okay? Now, the measure of life flowing in us is determined by the degree of meekness of our hearts and the degree of diligence with which we obey spiritual instruction. Very important. We go back to what we said earlier, that attitude of reverence and the obedience to instruction. Those two are key.
meekness and diligence. Look at 1 Peter 5:5. 1 Peter 5:5. Okay. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you, be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For what? God resisted the proud, and does what? Giveth grace to the humble, or gives life to the humble. Amen. So two people can pray, and one person will get the answer, and let's not get the answer because of the life. Amen. So it's the humble. It's the measure. So it's talking about the measure of the life that we receive. So the more humility, the more the life. Bible says, with the lowly is what? Wisdom. Okay, so we get that meekness, we get that life, through the meekness and also through diligence. Look at Hebrews 11:6. Diligence is very important. But you need the life to be diligent. It's when you have the life that you can now be diligent. That life gives you strength to be diligent. Look at 11. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that seek him. That do what? Diligently seek him. So diligence, the Bible says, my son, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. So it's so key that we have meekness and diligence. And that's, so we must desire truth, the present mind of God, that God is speaking to us through the Holy Spirit. We must desire it, we must seek it, we must act on it promptly. Otherwise, even though we have been translated in the kingdom of God's dear son, we are still in darkness. We can be in the kingdom of light and have darkness inside. And that's not the will of God. And that's why God is asking us to show. Look at 2 Peter 2:9. 2 Peter, smooth. The Lord knoweth how to deliver. No. 2 Peter 2:19. I beg your pardon. 19. Yes. No. The word of God that shines, 2 Peter 1:19, is it 1:9? That light that shines in a dark place. 1:19. Okay, 1:19. Thank you. Right. We have also a more sure word of what? Prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take it as unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Amen. What is God saying here? God is saying that the word of God that you hear every day, the word of God that you hear from the pulpit, is a word of prophecy. You don't want to look for a prophet to prophesy to you. That word that we are hearing, once it's the word of God, this canon, it is a present word. And whatever the Holy Spirit is saying to us through that word, we do well to take it. Why? Because it is a light shining in the dark place of our souls. So that light illuminates our understanding so we can see what is the will of God. Now, it's so important that we don't suppress the truth. Don't hold the truth in unrighteousness. It's very important, because if you do look at Romans 1:18, if you do that, then you're going to be inviting wrath. It says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness. So the ungodliness is born again, but not like God. Unrighteousness is not born again. Of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. This is the only way that can keep us back from our inheritance. If you hold the truth and you don't do it, the Bible says, he that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is what? Sin. So God wants us to, when you know the will of God, you act on it promptly and completely. This is the will of God for us. Amen. And so God has designed that our path to shine brighter and brighter onto the perfect day. Amen. Now, so how do we then do this? What is the will of God? How do we move on and make sure that we don't hold the truth of righteousness? Look at Matthew 23:23, because I think that is important. Matthew 23:23. And Jesus Christ talks, says, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone." And this is the key here. You know, God wants us to put first things first. Judgment, mercy, and faith is the priority in the kingdom. Self-judgment, you examine yourself. You know, you ask God to have mercy on you. So when you examine yourself, it's easy to receive correction, because you're already looking inward at yourself. So judgment, you look inward, you check yourself, you think your attitudes, you check, you know, your love walk, you check your relationships, you check your obedience, you know, and then when there's something wrong, you call it what it is, you call it sin, it's wrong, you ask God for mercy, and then you now act in faith by obeying the word of God that God has shown you, and that way you overcome. You begin to walk in the truth that God has prepared for you. Amen. And that's the way we grow. We cannot grow by just praying and just doing and hoping and thinking everything is okay. Bible says, examine yourself whether you be in the faith. And it comes with us. We must do it. We must take the initiative ourselves. Remember, God has done his own and he's still doing his own. He's performing the mercy, you know. So we also then rise up and then we examine ourselves. Okay, we check and then we correct it. And then we act on the word of God in faith. And that light begins to shine brighter and brighter in our souls, so that we begin to press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling. So it's important that this is how to press forward. This is how to move to where God wants us to be. So by obeying this word through the fathers, we move from Israel. Israel is where everybody starts from. Because in the church, you have three compartments. There is Israel, that is the entire body of born-again Christians. That's where you get born again, and you are drinking the sincere milk of the word. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 2, quickly. First Peter chapter 2, I beg your pardon, verse 1. Okay, verse 2. As newborn babes, let's read it again. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. So there is a milk of the word. You know, God begins to teach us, you know, the foundational principles, you know, of the Christ life, the new birth, baptism of the Holy Spirit, the healing, deliverance, and we begin to grow. And that's the will of God. But that takes us to Jerusalem. So there's a journey here. We're moving. Jerusalem is in Israel. You know, but there is a bit more responsibility in Jerusalem than there is in Israel. In Israel, everything is done for you, baby, little child. But in Jerusalem, you begin to move up, and God begins to demand more. Amen. Okay, and there you begin to learn to pray in tongues. You have access to the wisdom of God, and then a limited amount of the power of God. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 7. Okay, Jerusalem. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. Okay? So this, we see this, you know, that this is Jerusalem, where we're praying in the Spirit and we have a limited amount of the power of God, and takes us into Zion. Now, Zion is inside Jerusalem, which is inside Israel. But the salvation of Israel is coming not from Jerusalem. It's coming not from Israel. It's coming from Zion. And Zion, what is Zion? Zion is the place where you are praying with travail by the life of God. The Bible talks about deep calling on deep. Look at Psalm 42, verse 7. This is Zion. This is the place of maturity, a place of mature Christians, where Christians take the responsibility to fulfill the will of God. Amen. Like mommy said, we are seeking to please God. So we are doing, we are looking for his will, looking for what will please him, and we want to do it. Amen. Okay, says, deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy waterspouts, all thy waves and billows. She's talking about deep intercession.
And that deep intercession brings deep wisdom. And that's the deep wisdom that we then walk in. Amen. Okay, that's, so that's what the fathers do. That wisdom reproduces the Christ in us. And then gives us access to the Spirit without measure. The unlimited power of God. Amen. All right. And so it's important, you know, that we make that progression. How do we make that progression? Remember the parable of a sower. All right. Decision. You make a quality decision to know to do what God has revealed to you. So you will not be by a wayside kind of heart. Then you determine to do the will of God. Very important. You determine. It takes determination to do the will of God. Because sometimes you do it against opposition. You determine to do the will of God. So Bible says that when the tough times come, you stay with your determination. Determination keeps you going. And that takes you to the next heart, which is discipline. You cut away, you have to, sometimes you have to just give time for TV has to put aside. You have to put a time for your own personal leisure to do the will of God. And it's part and parcel of the gospel. It's not in Israel. It's in Zion that you learn those things. Amen. Amen. Okay. And then you now end up with diligence. No, Pastor taught us this. So it's nothing new. Decision. Determination. Let's say it together. Let's say decision. Determination. Discipline. And diligence. And that makes you a good, and a Bible talks about good ground, a faithful ground that begins to bring forth fruit. Okay, so we have two examples just to illustrate this. We know the example of Elisha. For Elijah, let's look at 2 Kings 2, verse 1 to 7. Christianity is a journey taking us into our inheritance with the fullness of the power of the Spirit without measure. Okay, but you do it by going from one place to another. You go from Israel to Jerusalem, from Jerusalem to Zion. So it's a journey. But God's going to take you from the beginning to the end in Jesus' name. That's his design. The Bible, that's how we designed it. Bible talks about those who are foreknown being justified. Look at Romans. Let's just look at Romans chapter 8, 28 to 30. Quick. Romans 8, 20 to 30. Quickly. And we know that all things work together for good for them that to them who are the called according to his which purpose? The purpose of giving you an inheritance, unfading, undefiled. That's the purpose he's talking about. The all things work together for good for those people. Not just for those that love God. It's very important that we understand that. Next verse. Okay. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be what? Conformed to the image of his son. This is the plan. That he might be the firstborn among many brethren. So that Jesus is the firstborn and there are others that are just like him. Secondborn, thirdborn, fourthborn. And your number is somewhere there. 1,000 born. Amen. Alright. And your number is there. And so that's his purpose. His purpose is not, next verse, verse 30. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also... It's a journey from called to glorified. You're going to make it to the end in Jesus' name. Don't give up on the way, folks. We're going all the way. Amen. All right, so we see the 2 Kings 1, 7. 2 Kings chapter... Let's start from verse 1. One quickly, thank you. 2 Kings 2, verse 1. Thank you. And it came to pass that when the Lord would take Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. Where did they start from? Gilgal. The two of them together. Gilgal is a place of circumcision, a place of being born again, where you remove the foreskin of the flesh. Okay, so God did that. Alright, move on. Next verse. And Elijah said, tarry here, the Lord has sent me to Bethel. Bethel is the house of God. Amen. Where we are all together, there are brethren there. And guess what? They are the sons of the prophets in Bethel. Next verse. And the sons of the prophets, they were at Bethel. Bethel is everybody. But you know, if you don't start from a place of circumcision in your heart, where you have made up your mind to go all the way, with decision, determination, discipline, diligence, you will just be in the house That's what the Bible calls men. That's what the pastor calls mental ascent. There are people in the church that have not made a quality heart decision to go all the way. They're just there for the blessing. Gimme, gimme, gimme. Alright, okay. And it's not like, now he's going to give. Don't misunderstand. God's going to give. But it's not all about you. It's about the purpose of God as well. Amen. Okay. So, and no, it's not that I will take your... Hold your peace. Next verse. And Elijah said unto him, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho. But Elijah says, I'm following you everywhere you go. Notice that Elijah didn't tell the sons of the prophets. They are in Israel. They are in the Israel or Jerusalem. This is for people that are going to Zion. It's people that are going to Zion. So he told him, next verse, see, some of the prophets were there in Jericho. They are always where there is ease. Anywhere where there is, the crowd is always a sure sign. If you are where the crowd is, check. Thou shalt not follow a multitude to do evil. Amen. So it's very important. He separated himself from the crowd. To get to Zion, you have to separate yourself from the crowd. You cannot do what the crowd is doing. Next verse. And Elijah said unto him, tarry, I pray thee here. Lord, and send me to Jordan. He said, I'm not leaving you. And the Bible says, and they too went on. Next verse. And 50 men of some prophets went and did what? Stood to view. Did they follow them to the Jordan? It's all about me. It's not about them. It's not about the being of God. So only they two stood by the Jordan. And that's the place of death, where you change your motives to pleasing God from God blessing you. To pleasing God from God give me spiritual power. God make me a leader. God make me know. God promote me. And no, and your motives change. And you need to allow them to change. Amen. And then, you know, we know the story. It goes on, and he went through, and then two people went, and one person came back. It tells you that the other person had downloaded his spirit into that person. Elisha had received the fullness of the grace that was upon Elijah, a double portion. So only one person. It was two people in one person coming back. Amen. That's the will of God. We should not be like Gehazi. Gehazi refused to submit his motives. He refused to purify his motives to do God's will. Amen. He didn't want to do. Look at Luke 14:26-27. Luke 14:26-27. It's very important. Okay? As we round up. Let's read this. No. If any man come unto me and hate not his father and yea, and his own life also, he cannot. Not that he cannot do. Not that he will not try, but he will not finish. He will not get to Zion. He will not get to Zion. He will not, because the thing will disturb him. Next verse. It's telling you that up front, you need to make a heart consecration in Christianity. Not just follow the crowd. Not the bless me club. It's a walk with God, you and God, one-on-one. Next verse. And whosoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot. He's not saying will not. No. Cannot. That means it's impossible. Next verse. Thank you. Just the next verse. For which of you intending to build a tower? That tower is the tower of love. It's the tower of the character of God. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. Okay? So seated not down first and counted the cost. Whether he have what? Sufficient to finish it. The truth is that you don't have what it takes to finish it. But at least you give your all. When you give your all, then you get God's all. Then you'll be able to finish it. See, but you, at least you have to count it and make sure that you... That's why marriage is not to be taken lightly. You count the cost. There's some vows. I think that gang that says not to be taken lightly. You know, You know, there's a way, because you have to think properly, because you cannot go and come back and say, I've changed my mind. It's not like that. Next verse is a marriage with Jesus. He is the bridegroom. We are the bride, and we are getting ourselves ready. So we count the cost, and then we make our vow, and then we will not delay to perform. Very important. Lest happily, after he had laid the foundation, so you can go from Gilgal to Bethel. You've laid the foundation, and he is not able to finish it. All men begin to mock him. They will not mock us in Jesus' name, because we will inherit the Spirit without measure. Amen. Next verse. Saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. But you know, if they are mocking, they should just hide and watch. Well, the sons of prophets, why are they not mocking? Why not? The matter is going to be removed. Why are you telling information that is already known? What do you want to add? It sounds like, you know, your matter is going to be taken away. That's what it sounds like. You know, you read the spirit of it. And why are you telling me what I already know? It says, hold your peace. Hold your peace. You know, let them hold their peace. We are coming back from Jordan. Amen. This man began and was not able to finish. Next verse. Or what king going to make war against another king? Light versus darkness. You are a king. Under the King of Kings, you take a battle against darkness in your life and around you. Amen. We should put on the armor of light. Amen. Very important. So we're making war. Sitteth not down first and consulteth with God whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against you with 20,000. Look, what is he saying? He's saying that you go into a war. If a war is worth fighting, you fight. You fight. The men that fought for the deliverance, for abolition of slavery in America, they were white. They were white, going against their fellow white people for what they perceived was injustice. And they did. And you know, sometimes you go into a war, it's not about whether you have enough to win. It's just on principle. There is no discharge from this war. I am going to win, or I'm going to go with both guns blazing. He's talking about a commitment. When you have that commitment, yes, you can with 10,000 overcome 20,000. Ask the children of Israel how many times there were times they went to war, and there were more that fell, that died from the hailstones, than that they killed with their hand. Yeah, of course you can go against a large army with just a few. Elisha, one man disciplined the whole army. So I mean, that's not the point. Is, are you sold out? Are we sold out? That's the word God is asking. Next verse. Or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sent an ambassador and said, there's no point. If you're not going all the way, then don't do it at all. What God is saying is that don't give me half measure. Don't give me half measure. It's all or none at the heart level. It's all or none. Of course, God expects us, gives us time to grow and all that. But at the heart of that, and you must preserve that commitment. It's gold. It's a golden commitment. Very important. Next verse. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he had, he cannot be my disciple. We will be his disciples in Jesus' name, because we will forsake all we have in order to cleave to our bridegroom in Jesus' name. Amen.
He said two very important things. He said a lot of things, but there were two key things I want to zero in on. And the first one is in Psalm 133, verse 3, where he talked about the blessing and a blessing. And here the Bible tells us what it is, talking about unity and all of that, like Bami has been saying, the dew of Hermon that descends upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord has commanded, not a blessing, says, but what is that blessing? Life evermore. Zoe The life of God is the blessing of all blessings. Because it is from the life of God every other thing comes. Wisdom, power, life, joy, peace, everything. And that's why as Christians, you know, we ought to major on that. We don't neglect the other things, but we major on this because this is the source of every other blessing. The second thing he talked about was the issue of following. And you see this in Philippians chapter 3, Philippians 3, verse 17. He says, brethren, be followers together of me. And this man is talking with authority. Be followers together of me and mark them which walk so as you have us as an example. In other words, we are a standard. And this I was ruminating in recent times on my own life personally and the men of God that God raised up over the years that I have followed. Some of them are dead now, like Kenneth Hagin and people like E.W. Kenyon and others, you know. And then I found something. I found a common thread. You know what? Every single one of us followed Paul. What Paul wrote, this Paul, what we call the Pauline revelation, what Paul wrote and the prayers Paul prayed, the Ephesian prayer, the Colossian prayer, that is the rule. If you want to get this Christ thing, you have to follow this. Paul was the pattern disciple. If you don't follow Paul's example, you will never get into revelation knowledge. You will never get into perfection. God has set the road. Be follows. The Greek word follow means mimetes. And that's where we get the English word mimic. To mimic. Kenneth Hagin, he began to pray Paul's prayer. God just led him. That efficient prayer. God give me the spirit of wisdom and revelation. He didn't know anything about revelation. He didn't understand all of that. He was just praying it. 6 months later, he began to get revelation knowledge. About a year later, Jesus began to appear to him in visions. And teach him things that directed a whole generation. And so, I want to leave this with us, brethren. You know, it's not Olubi you are following. It's not Kenneth Copeland. You're following Jesus. But you see, you can't follow Jesus directly. You have to follow Jesus by following the people who have followed Jesus. Who will now give you an example you can see. Jesus did not teach us Pauline prayer. He didn't teach us Pauline prayer. Jesus did not say anything about pray for spirit of wisdom and revelation. It was Paul. But it was by doing what Paul said that we now begin to see where Jesus got it from. And so, if I don't do anything else this morning, I want to leave this with us. You know, these two things. Unity, the life of God, and following the Paul, I find it very, very, very challenging that a man, and they hated Paul in his generation. They thought he was proud. How can he be saying this? Be followers together of me and mark them which walk as you have us as an example. In other words, if anybody is walking, if he's not walking like us, don't follow him. That is the same truth today. The people I have followed by the grace of God, all of them followed Paul. Every single one of them. I have revelation knowledge. And I've discovered that people who don't follow this, they're going around in circles. In the wilderness. And they die and perish in the wilderness. Do you want to go up in God? This is the way. This is the way. This is the way.
Yeah. Hallelujah. I call it the 5D principle. On the board, desire. Yes, desire. Right, number two, decision. You may have a desire and not have a decision. Then right three, determination. You have to back your decision with determination. Then you have to have dedication. D-E-D, dedication. You must be dedicated to what you have desire, decision, determination. And the last one is diligence. There is no stopping for a man that has those 5D principles. Desire, determination, dedication, write it, and diligence. Go and write it down. If you have those 5D, I call them the 5D principles. There is no stopping a man. It's not been easy. You see, it's not how many times we fall. It's just to decide that we will rise again.